And welcome to the program on this Tuesday afternoon. It is 1:09 right now. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm, alongside Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Dean Wysocki off on another golf course this afternoon, getting in a quick 18 holes before the sun goes down, which is just so happened earlier and earlier and earlier. Bridget, how are you doing today on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
It's going well. I'm on the road, as you can tell, out in my pickup once again. But, you know, the temperature has changed a little.
Indeed.
It certainly feels more fall-like today.
It sure does. Yeah, it's only sitting at 49, and there were temperatures in the teens to mid-20s this morning. A little chilly. I'm assuming you probably had some frost on your vehicle when you left the house, didn't you?
I did, and because I'm traveling, it was definitely outside. So, yep, saw some frost, and honestly, not terrible. You know, we saw some mid-20s for the most part.
Yes.
This just means that the flies and the mosquitoes are finally going to go away.
I hope so. I'm so sick of these stupid flies. They are driving me absolutely crazy.
Nobody's thrilled with the fly situation. It's only going to get better, though.
Yeah, one can hope. Hey, if you want to be a part of the program today, feel free. We encourage it, actually. Give us a call, 701-293-9000. That's how you get on the program. Well, I guess it's how you get screened to be on the program. Sometimes there are people we don't let talk very often. Like, John, what's going on today, bud?
Sure, you had to go down that road.
I had to, man. It was there. I had to take my shot.
Well, that's all right. Just remember, payback, so you know what, sir.
Yes, indeed it is. What do you got for us today, John? How you been?
Good. My weather modification project is working as planned.
Ah, right on. Are you using the same frequency that Harp uses?
No, that frequency's old and outdated, for gosh sakes.
Yeah,
I had absolutely zero frost on my windshield this morning. It was a balmy 73 degrees on my driveway.
Hey, right on. There you go. I could go for a good 73 degree day.
If I could expand it just a little better than a 10 by 10 spot, I'll have something here.
Yeah, it's a power issue, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, like Scotty said, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
Yeah, you still stuck on that uranium, or have you moved on to element 158?
Oh, no, I'm on to dilithium crystals all the way.
Okay. Right on.
I'm on Gen 3.
Ooh.
I'm on Gen 3. I think Gen 4 might be the key.
Yeah, I would recommend moving up your tech.
By the way, what's with that slacker, Wysocki?
He's playing golf, man. Sorry. Give him a break.
Well, his product is going to start turning into a chia pet pretty soon.
I thought it already was a chia pet.
No, but it will be the longer it sits, you know, waiting for him to come and pick it up. I don't get where the disconnect is with him in that. I mean, he lives barely, 4 miles from my house, maybe. Mm.
Well, maybe you just got to go to his house. I can give you his address if you want.
Well, but when he goes to the gym, he could literally cross the railroad tracks and 2 blocks later be at my house.
I don't know. Maybe it's a personal thing, man. Did you upset him?
You know, I don't think so. As a matter of fact,
we got couples therapy going on now.
I don't know. You know, maybe it's a Chicago thing. Maybe he's still mad because I'm a Packers fan.
I'll let him know that he needs to get over there, and I'll give you his address, and you can stop by, and that way you can stop by more often.
Oh, I know. I know where he lives.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
He knows where I live. That's why I said I don't see where the disconnect is here.
I see. Well, we'll see what we can do for you, John. Appreciate the phone call. If anyone else wants to call in, 701-293-9000. This is the Red Wing Shoe Line. We got fun things coming up on the program today, not alone just your check on your forecast, which is looking a little promising, in my opinion, for the extended week forecast, but also some fun things coming up. We got Chris Sherman from Tech Support Farm. He's in studio with us today. We'll be talking about some tech and farm stuff, as well as a few of our ag topics that we'll get to through the course of this hour, including some biological chemistry. And a little bit of oh boy, here's a fun word. Clopyrifos label update. How close was I on butchering that one?
Really close to butchering it. It's actually clopyrifos.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that was even better. Clopyrifos.
Clopyrifos. We'll talk about your science.
Sounds like acetaminophen.
Later. Right.
The only way I actually remember how to pronounce that is I see a minnow fin. That's the only way I can remember how to pronounce that drug.
Well, and now everybody else does too.
Mm-hmm. And so, really, our last topic we'll get to today is don't clean out the garden quite yet. And I didn't actually pick the last of my tomatoes last night. Bridget, are my tomatoes going to be okay? Are they going to be good to use, or are they trashed now?
I think they might be sort of trashed. You and I both know that it got cold enough last night, and you might just be tired of them and call it done.
Well, that's why they didn't get picked yesterday.
There you go.
And so, most of them are green, so.
It doesn't matter anymore, right? They're over.
I already made my 80 pounds of salsa. I'm kind of over it for the year.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, if you think about it, I noticed, like, my peonies had some disease to them earlier this year.
Your what?
So, the peonies, they're the flower, the sure. big pink bushy flowers. So, those leaves looked kind of trashed. I did go ahead and clip those off because of the disease that I saw in the leaves. But there are some places where I'm going to leave a little extra leaf litter to help be some snow cover, maybe my strawberry patch.
Insulate
and
them.
It's okay. Absolutely. And, you know, do try to clean things up, but you don't have to really sanitize the whole yard yet. It's okay to leave a few things out there. Personally, I don't clean a lot of vines or anything out of the garden. I till them all back under. If I saw some disease, it's a good idea to remove what looks diseased. Maybe if you had some wilt on your cucumber vines, you want to get rid of those. But overall, there's a lot of stuff that can just go right back into your soil profile, and that's okay.
Yeah, right on. Let's see. Why don't we do a quick rundown on your forecast for the day? I'll let you know what the next couple of days are going to be unfolding, and we'll give you a more extensive one towards the end of the show. But for today, just kind of a chilly but sunny afternoon. Low to mid-50s for highs today. Southeast winds about 5 to 15 miles per hour. As we head through tonight, the wind will stay steady. It'll be light, and it'll become steady about 10 miles per hour towards tomorrow morning. And that will help keep temperatures fairly mild. I expect some mid- and upper-level clouds to kind of filter in throughout the course of the night. And for most locations, that will help spots from bottoming out below... almost about to say below zero, but below freezing. we'll see a lot of low to mid 30s around the area tonight. So patchy freezing conditions, especially around the Devil's Lake Basin. Wider spread frost again. Temps about 34 here in Fargo tonight. South winds 10 to 15. And then we're in the mid to upper 60s on Wednesday. And we're in the low 70s on Thursday, although it will turn windy tomorrow with a good 20 to 30 mile an hour wind out of the south-southwest. So that's going to be predominantly on the eastern half of the state. So not as much of a wind concern out in western North Dakota, where they've been dealing with all those sparky, sparky hot things.
And there still are some fires that I wouldn't say 100% containment. If you think about the area, especially by Mandaree, even out towards Grassy Butte, it's a lot of rough countryside. It's not very flat. It's hard to get to. And that's why there's been a lot of firefighting done by air more than by ground. Two of our livestock producers from Western North Dakota, one farms, one is not only has cattle, but is the fire chief for the city of Ray, North Dakota. They were just recently on a podcast for Shark Farmer, and he actually has been a past guest of ours as well. And so if you're interested in hearing more from the perspective of those who literally fought the fires, I would take the time to go listen to that podcast. And secondly, one of the men from the podcast is going to join us on air this Friday to talk about what happened and sort of the aftermath of what's going to be going on in that Ray Tioga area as well.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of aerial footage of the fires out there when they were kind of it was some from just the other day, but also during the peak. And yeah, it looked kind of nasty out there, Bridget. I can't lie. That did not look like a great thing.
I'd say it was pretty bad.
I was under the impression, and besides being under the impression, I know that Wyoming has also been dealing with some very devastating wildfires out there. And it just kind of seems like none of it is really making news in the shadow of Hurricane Helene and Milton. Now, I haven't really seen any public news spots actually talking about the near 100,000 acres of North Dakota that have burnt, and I think it's near 100,000, if not more, acres over in some pretty nice areas of Wyoming as well.
Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Mother Nature tends to use fire as a way to reset when she needs to.
Yeah, we're going
to
rebirth everything.
We're going to see quite a bit of that this year in some areas that don't normally go through some of that fire danger. But thankfully, folks are keeping a close eye on all of those, being very cautious when it comes to, you know, watching for sparks that could come from equipment or other places. And if you can help us keep the wind down, we'd appreciate it.
We will see what we can do, the best of what we can do. Hi there, caller. Can you hold on for a moment?
You bet.
Awesome. We'll take you right after the break. So callers, just hold on here. We'll come back to you in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to the phone line. And then we have Chris Sherman from Tech Support Farm. He's going to be joining us. Yep. We're going to talk a little bit about broadband connectivity for agriculture in North Dakota and Minnesota. And if you got any questions pre or during our conversation for Chris, feel free to give us a call, 701-293-9000. We'll come back to those phone lines, your questions, and our interview in just a moment. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us on this October 15th. It is 123:30 right now. Red Wing Shoe Line gets you screened to be on the program today, 701-293-9000. That phone line brought to you by Red Wing Shoes. You can find them over there on Main Avenue. Teresa will hook you up with a great set of boots or some Vask hiking shoes. They got a great selection. They're comfortable and they're durable. Going on 14 years on one pair of shoes, so trust me, if they'll last you a long time. We're going to head over to the Red Wing Shoe phone line right now, bring in Doug to the conversation. Doug, what's going on today?
I happen to be wearing Irish Setters, which is a Red Wing product, guys.
Ed, there you go.
Nice.
Hey, you guys, I ran I-90 here. You spoke about the fires in Wyoming. And right after the big one went from east of Douglas towards Gillette across 90.
Yep.
I had a guy running out ahead of me about a half hour, and he had told me the fire, you know, just spoke about it. So I put my odometer to it, and gosh, I can't remember, but I thought it was, I know it was in the 20 some miles of that interstate that burnt, and it got both sides, the fence, every sign. Oh my God. Mm. It was unreal. And what struck me out there was all the skid steers that the state of Wyoming had brought in to get those fences back up. I'm telling you, I saw 50 if I saw one skid steer. I know I did. Maybe 80.
Wow.
You know, it was, and that's impressive. I don't know if you know, but
they were putting in posts and stringing wire with those skid steers.
They were pulling at the time. They were getting out all the charred stuff, but I know the state of Wyoming, all state and federal highways, the state of Wyoming actually maintains and builds all those fences. So, yes. You know, the producers out there got a heck of a break on that one, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so good. That was an amazing fire. Good. Fire retardant on the interstate as well. Quite a deal.
Yeah, crazy.
So, have a good day, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening,
Doug.
Thank
you.
Yeah, it was nasty out there, I tell you that. It's not great.
No, less than great. But we're going to switch to something really great, and that would be our guest today, and that's Chris Sherman. He is with Tech Support Farm. Chris is a cybersecurity expert and does a fantastic job of that, but also just bringing to light what's going on in our rural areas when it comes to broadband. I feel like I'm living that right now. I'm in sight of a cellular phone tower.
Does that help at all, though?
I'm okay for service. If I went into the shop and used the broadband, it'd be kind of marginal. So is this everybody's life, Chris? I'm in South Central North Dakota right now.
You know, unfortunately, it is very much everybody's life.
Are we on?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, good? We're good. We just had a little volume thing there for a quick second. We're good, though.
Okay.
But no.
So go ahead, Chris, jump in.
I can tell you that even east of Moorhead, we're still seeing stuff like that. Right on Highway 10,
really?
North side, it's, you know, we're seeing, you know, 12 meg up, and, you know, and it's just not great.
You know, I've even noticed it on I-29 just past, well, I guess when I go through Harwood, I actually drop all my 5G for about, it's only about a mile or so, but it drops completely, and I'm basically just left with almost useless anything.
So we do know that Verizon and AT&T, they swap, you know, they move towers and stuff like that. And we know that Verizon moved a tower just out east of Moorhead just recently. And that has, you know, really impacted, you know, cell coverage there as well. And then at the same time, we know that Midco and some of the other, you know, providers are still using the, you know, the antennas to bring the internet in. And so that's really impeding everybody's speeds and that sort of thing as well. So, but we still, you know, we still, you know, see the guys coming along and trenching in cable and putting it under, you know. So hopefully one of these days we're going to start seeing, you know, connectivity improve around here for everybody.
Okay. So connectivity on the farm. I heard you say bringing things in through antenna. I live in a small town where we have fiber optic. Okay, who's getting the better reception? A farm with their own antenna system that can pull things in, or me hooked up to a fiber optic? And how does that affect, well, I guess I'll wait till you finish that, but then I got a question about how that affects cybersecurity for both of us.
So really the broadband coming in through your fiber is going to be the best way to go. And that's because, you know, we like when you have antennas and you've got receivers, anything from, you know, wind or, you know, we've had guys call and we have to go out there and figure out that, you know, their receiver has been tweaked by, you know, a branch or something that hit it. That's, you know, that really, you know, slows things down and causes you problems. Unfortunately as well, you know, with a lot of these rural ISPs or internet service providers, we have seen, you know, some spotty coverage in certain areas where it has been difficult. And it isn't as consistent as we would like it to be. But, you know, in general, I would say that it's significantly better to go with, you know, to go with the wired and the fiber optic for sure.
So that leads me to the second part of my question. And that is, as those in rural areas on farms, et cetera, which one lends itself to a worse cybersecurity situation, or doesn't it matter? We're all hackable, irregardless of our broadband or however it is we're getting our internet service.
I would say that it's not going to impact it one way or another. Connectivity is going to be connectivity.
Okay.
I mean, if we really wanted to venture out there and speculate, we would say that maybe the slower speeds are going to be less desirable to, for somebody to hack on because they're frustrated because they can't get in. I mean, it's that old saying, you know, that, you know, like if you have Windows 7, nobody's going to hack it because nobody remembers how, right? Mm-hmm. You know. I mean, everything is hackable. Everything is, you know, susceptible to that. But, you know, really, they're going to go after the opportunity. But I guess I don't know exactly whether broadband and high speeds are going to impact that or not.
Right. And I know that getting high-speed internet across the state and really across the country has been a big goal. How do you define what high-speed internet is? What's that threshold that defines just having internet access compared to high-speed internet?
So the minimum threshold set by the FCC was 25 meg download and then 3 upload. And, you know, traditionally most of the state of North Dakota and Minnesota are above that. But that is definitely the bare minimum of what is acceptable. You know, unfortunately with, you know, a lot of the equipment and software that we're using, especially in precision ag these days, that is something that, you know, we need to see, you know, we need to see improved speeds. Mm-hmm. We, you know, one thing that really is a challenge is when you get growers or producers out there that they find a solution that they want to adopt. And unfortunately then, you know, the tech guy comes along and lets them know that, you know, you have DSL, and unfortunately that's not going to be, you know, compatible because you need higher speeds for, you know, upload and download of data and storage and that sort of thing.
Well, I was going to lead into my next part of my next question is for those who cannot get access to the higher speed or high speed internet, how does that affect their operation or on their farm if they don't have access to that high speed? How does that hinder them?
I mean,
maybe that'd be more of a Bridget question than on your end, since you deal more with the tech part of it. But
in my experience, you know, previously I've seen where farms have had to decide not to go with a certain technology or a certain solution based right. on the fact that they can't adopt it.
Sure.
It, you know, if you can't get the ROI out of it, you know, because of, you know, the cost, you know, going into it, and then you don't have the internet, you know, or the infrastructure to support it, then it's a waste of money at
sure.
that point.
Right.
So.
Okay. And Bridget, I know you have a little bit more experience of in the field when it comes to the connectivity of tractors and whatnot. Do you, what does that mean on a farm side?
Things have improved so tremendously that when you're in the field, I feel like your connectivity is actually better a lot of times due to satellite. But when we come back, I think one of the things we want to talk about is when that connectivity fails and you are trying to monitor remote bin sites, grain dryers, livestock operations, et cetera, and some of the challenges that come along with that. And I think Chris has a lot of great examples because he always does. And every time I see the meme that says, I'm a hacker, I have all your passwords and I'm holding them for ransom, and my response would be, oh, good. What are my passwords? I think of Chris and realize how much he would hate my system of keeping my passwords. So that's a whole nother day's topic, but I think of you every time with it, Chris. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back to continue our discussion with Chris Sherman. He is with Tech Support Farm, and we want to talk more about cybersecurity after this. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, live from the cab of my pickup. Yeah, but Justin and our guests today are in studio, so they're holding down the fort. We have no idea where Dean is, so we're just happy to have you along for the ride today. Thank you. As we wrap up our Here We Grow project, thank you to those who were sponsors and part of it all season long, to Steffes Group. Thank you for making sure that we had equipment in the field, and if we needed any changes, we could easily do them through your auction service. Check them out at Steffes Group online. Also, Dakota Bank, if you are looking to switch banks, they now have a location in the Fargo area right by Target. And with Dakota Bank, you have the opportunity to use their online banking systems, and a very friendly system it is. So thanks to them. And Justin and I are busy gathering up those guesses on our yield count for Here We Grow. So if you have a guess on your number of bushels you think we raise this year, send them to us. You can email them ag or weather@flagfamily.com. You can put them on our Facebook page at Weather and Ag in Focus. And additionally, when you win, the opportunity for a rain gauge from Productive Alternatives in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, or a grain gauge. That'll be from IntelliFarms in Castleton. So we're going to happy to share prizes. And again, looking forward to telling you what our bushels were here in just a couple weeks. We're going to have a big announcement when we can share more regarding our donation to Farm Rescue, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest today is Chris Sherman. We are very happily talking with him about security and broadband. And I find it funny that my phone wants, or my iPad wants to glitch, because I'm probably not in a great phone service area.
No, you're popping a little bit from time to time, but that's all right. That cell tower's trying its best.
It's doing everything it can. I can see it right over there. Now, this happens to farmers all the time, Chris. How does it hamper their daily lives?
Well, typically they end up calling me and telling me that their internet's out again. And so, you know, troubleshooting is pretty difficult, especially when, you know, farms are, you know, we're trying to create networks where you have one internet service point, right? Where, you know, maybe you have a farm and then you've got the house. And so we're trying to port the internet from the house to the farm. You know, each time we have a new gateway, that, you know, that creates one more spot where that internet service can be dropped, or, you know, something that can be compromised. And again, you know, like we talked about, you know, like certain cell companies and moving towers and stuff like that, that, you know, really impacts us. I know some of our producers are struggling getting their tractors online because they were all running with, you know, a certain cell, you know, cellular manufacturer's chips, their little SIM cards. And now that, you know, that tower moved, their connectivity is just kind of in the tank. And so it becomes this constant, you know, chasing your tail, trying to make sure that everything's connected.
Right. And when it comes to those different kind of hiccups and whatnot and outages, how does that affect, say, like cloud-based management or remote sensings and monitoring of the farms or the operations?
It really feels like you know, the lights get shut off, right? You don't have any connectivity. You don't have the visibility that you once did. You don't have the ability to, you know, make those decisions if your guidance system goes out, or, you know, if you can't see your bins, you can't see your overhead doors, you can't see your cameras, you can't see, you know, a lot of these things. And that's kind of where we really strongly talk with guys about, you know, what's known as BCDR, or backup and disaster recovery modules, and your game plans for what happens in those scenarios when unfortunately, you know, the power goes out, so to speak.
Right. So what are some of the things when it comes to how you respond to different calls like that? How do you respond?
Specifically for us, you know, we're an ag-based company, and so therefore we're kind of, you know, 24/7. And you know, depending on the severity of the situation and what's going on, you know, I mean, we've gone to service calls at, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and you know, on Fridays and Saturdays, and I mean, that's just the nature of the game, right? I mean,
right.
Ag is not an 8-to-5 thing, so it really, you know. We also, you know, try to make sure that we are here to support the software and the solution, you know, vendors. So we don't want your dealership to feel like we're trying to take over their stuff. But really, it's a matter of making sure that things are, you know, staying connected. And you know, electronics is sensitive, and so you know, when you have things like power surges and stuff like that, it really can, you know, hamper productivity, and then that's where it kind of gets, you know, a little bit dicey, and next thing you know, we end up with dealers and service techs and then us out there, and, you know, so it's a group and a team effort, I would say that. So,
you know, you said service techs. That brings something to mind. So if your internet service isn't great on the farm,
yes,
and you have a tractor or a combine in the shop, and a service technician comes out from your local dealer and needs to work on it, but you don't have great internet service, that can hamper just getting that piece of equipment back on the road.
Yes, yes, yes. And then, you know, I mean, it even, you know, it boils down to, you know, whether it's your cell phone coverage or your internet speeds or anything like that in the shop. You know, our buildings are not lending themselves to being very, you know, compatible with cell phone signals and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we all find ourselves having to buy boosters and bridges and stuff. So, yeah, it is definitely a major problem.
So you have shared some statistics with Justin and I in regards to broadband across both states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the highlights from that you found in your research and you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know, I guess I found it very interesting that there's such a disparity between urban and rural populations. And it's not so much that the disparity exists, it's just that it skews the percentages so dramatically, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about, you know, like 91% of Minnesota households have, you know, what's considered acceptable internet, you know, upload and download speeds. And then the same was, I think it was 96% for North Dakota. The problem is that our population centers, you know, that really skews our numbers when you have Fargo, Moorhead, or Fargo and Grand Forks, Bismarck, and then you turn around and you've got Minneapolis, St. Cloud, and some of these, you know, heavily populated metro areas.
Right. Then you got the rest of the state.
Exactly.
Right. Because, yes. I mean, like, let's be honest, New Leipzig, North Dakota would like to have a word.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they definitely would. Yes. And I mean, you know, even think about, you know, you got Minot, and Minot has great service. But outside of that, you know, and when we, you know, when we talk about, you know, these broadband initiatives, you know, especially with the federal government and, you know, the FCC is pushing it, they talk about the phases that, you know, these projects are going through, and you can actually go online and you can look at these maps, you know, and see where, you know, connectivity is compared to where it was a year ago or 2 years ago. And you can see it slowly inching your direction. So,
right.
But yeah, we've definitely got a ways to go yet.
So in terms of expanding that network, how is some of the funding sourced or allocated to do to do that, to expand high-speed internet to the rural parts of the country, or in our instance, our state, I guess.
You know, and a lot of it is federal grants and monies that have been appropriated, you know, through Congress. And then at the same time, you know, we had that Infrastructure and Jobs Act, you know, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is where those dollars are coming from. And it really is pushing, you know, it's pushing your telecommunications companies and your ISPs to get out there and really put in, you know, plow in the infrastructure. And that's why you see, you know, all of these companies out there on the sides of the road plowing it in.
So many things that are going to need to change before we can see what the goals are and met. You know, when I hear USDA say, wow, we're going to get broadband internet to every home. I have friends who live in Illinois who have crappier internet than we do up here.
Yes.
There's a long way to go in every state.
And see, and that's what's interesting also is that North Dakota is near the top of the states that have high-speed internet.
Right. Well, I know that's been a big push for
yes.
North Dakota is one yep. of their main goals is they want to have every part of the state have that accessibility. And I believe here that it was, well, as you'd mentioned, the population centers throw that a little bit out of disproportion, but 96% yep. of North Dakota residents have access to that minimum
yep.
threshold for high-speed internet, and which 89% I think is great.
Of the population has access to fiber networks, mm-hmm. which is dramatically higher. But again, when you think about North Dakota's population...
Yeah, we're kind of broken into about four or five towns.
Correct.
Specifically yep. three.
Yeah.
Chris, you shared a couple of interesting facts here about broadband in North Dakota and Minnesota, and one of them that we were kind of talking about earlier and that I thought was kind of interesting, if you could expand a little bit more on that, was that broadband boosts farm productivity. For every 10% increase in broadband access in rural areas, farm productivity can grow 1% to 2%. Besides the, I guess, literal definition, what does that mean?
So... it's really saying that the better access we have to broadband, for every 10% increase in you know speed, it really is boosting the farming's capability by 1% to 2% of productivity. And so, really, what we're looking at is you know the faster the internet, the better you know quality of infrastructure that we have, and the dependability that gives farmers and growers and producers more options to adopt new technologies that will improve, you know, improve yields and, you know, productivity across the board. So
right.
it's fascinating to me because it just demonstrates how not only dependent we are on technology, but, you know, the better we, you know, the better foundation that we build for ourselves, especially now, you know, that's going to have a dramatic impact on our kids and grandkids, you know, future and their productivity.
Right. And I think a lot of that, too, is a big thing. In terms of the technologies that they're losing out on the productivity, you know, farms without fast internet will miss out on all that technology. And even in North Dakota, with the 25% of farms that still don't have access to the broadband speeds needed, what are some of those technologies that they're missing out on that would improve their productivity?
I mean, you think about right now during harvest and monitoring your dryer, monitoring your moisture content in mm-hmm. your bins, you know, keeping an eye on, you know, on the dryer, especially overnight. You think during the summer, you've got your irrigation, you've got your equipment monitoring, you know, GPS and tracking and that sort of thing. A lot of, I mean, think about, you know, any of these, you know, cloud-based, you know, solutions for data, you know, tracking.
Right.
I think just even some of your banking, your record keeping, yes. As winter gets here and weather gets tough and you can't always get to those sites where you're maybe running a grain dryer or you got cattle.
Yep.
So all of that gets impacted.
And then, you know, think about even just the creative solutions that people come up with. You know, we've got seed plants that that have cameras, you know, mounted across, you know, inside the mm-hmm. building and up inside, you know, their facilities, you know, monitoring, you know, sumps and legs and keeping track of making yep. sure that things aren't plugging up. Suddenly now you have to have a person physically there watching this all the time.
Right.
You know. So it it really would, you know, it increases the our dependence on manual labor and being physically present. You can't be you can't be multitasking.
Right. No, much. Definitely hard to do that.
Chris, we really enjoy it when you come and join us. But for those who want to catch more information from you, how can they do that?
Yeah. You can visit our website at www.techsupport.farm, or you can give us a call at 701-446-8518. You know, we're also at a lot of these different conventions. We're going to be at the Tri-State Grain Growers Association in, I want to say it's November the first week of November, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And then we're going to be at, you know, other events coming up throughout the year as well. So definitely, you know, follow our Facebook and our website, and we'll kind of keep, you know, that I will post it up there. So,
right. And in terms of Tech Support Farm, just a quick little, I guess I don't know what to call it, but what can you offer from Tech Support Farm to a farmer or provider or somebody who's looking for services? What services can you provide for them?
You know, going back to connectivity, you know, we definitely are able to help you out, you know, improve your speeds and maximize what you do have and the infrastructure that you're working with. Then we also, you know, will help, you know, educate and provide, you know, better cybersecurity, improve your security across the board. We take on a lot of projects, you know, whether it's cameras or certain pieces of automation, you know, whether it's fuel management systems or gates and that sort of thing. Networking and all of that. We try to be the, you know, we want to be the people that help, you know, support and build the infrastructure that your devices and your solutions live on. And then we also secure it and make sure that, you know, that you're armed and protected.
Great. And if they want to learn more about that again, what was the website?
TechSupport.farm.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Chris, appreciate it. Thanks for coming in today, talking a little bit about connectivity across the, you know, North Dakota and Minnesota.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate that. We'll take a few moments here, get caught up with a few of our sponsors. We come back. We still got ag topics. Check on your forecast. And if you want to sneak in quick to the show, we still got a few more minutes. We got open line 701-293-9000. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 154-34 on this Tuesday, October 15th. The year is 2021. Or maybe it's 24. I don't know. Bridget, what do you got going on over there? What do you got in your traveling plans for the afternoon? I see you're in the cab of your pickup. Surprised you just haven't subscribed to Starlink at this point instead of relying on those old cell towers that are blinking at you in the distance.
Guess it's time to put the tiny Starlink satellite dish on the top.
You know, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows Elon, so we could probably hook you up with a deal.
So, you know, right now I am just trying to make sure that it doesn't get overly loud as I see trucks and combines going by me. And I swear to God, they're doing it on purpose to make as much noise as they can for the moment. But I do also want to point out that we talk about biologicals when we're in the field, mm-hmm. pesticides, herbicides, etc. And not all biologicals are just for the organic markets. So when we talk about biopesticides, we can be using those for weed control, for pest control, for disease. And we're using those more often in conventional fields as well as in organic fields. They can have an additional cost. Sometimes that cost outweighs what you're doing conventionally. But if it's not, you may see some higher prices by using those biologicals until they get more refined and developed. It's anticipated by the year 2040, we're going to see that biological market being as big as our conventional chemistry market that we're with today. But we are seeing more and more of them. Again, not all just going to the organic market. We see a lot of these used in produce, but they've become more widespread in wheat, corn, soybeans, etc. as well.
And in terms of this old clopla, well, the C word, we're just going to call it the C word from now on. What can you tell me about this label update?
All right, chlorpyrifos, which is an insecticide primarily used in this region for soybean aphids, spider mites, and banded sunflower moth. It was taken off the market here a couple years ago, but now has made a return with some new restrictions that are coinciding with the Endangered Species Act. So two farmers remember that this is a product that is labeled. It is not as many trade names as what we once had before, so you have to look very closely to find chlorpyrifos. There are larger buffer zones and also certain counties. You need to go check bulletins live to see if your counties allow you to spray chlorpyrifos because of potential endangered species. So that's just a couple of the things that have changed with chlorpyrifos. You're going to want to have a little more research over the winter months in case that's an insecticide that you need to be using in the season of 2025. So just a couple of things that are happening a little bit differently on the farm, you might say. Mm-hmm.
Bridget, how many times did you have to say that word before you got the pronunciation down?
Pronunciation wasn't nearly as bad as the spelling, I'll tell you that. But I learned both of them many years ago.
The spelling doesn't even come close to how it's pronounced. Not anywhere close. Us. I never knew there were so many silent letters. You got P's and T's and Q's. Holy moly.
If you'd like to sit down with the North Dakota State Weed Guide one day and we could go through things like amazimathapyr, et cetera.
North Dakota's got a weed guy?
We have a weed science specialist, Joe Eichley.
Oh, really?
And we have a weed guide, a printed guide. There is one in pretty much every sprayer, water truck, farm shop, and pickup around. Everybody uses it. It's really a great reference piece of material.
Learning
new ones coming out in January.
I can't wait.
New ones will be out in January.
You'll have to print me off a copy of it so that way I can stow it away in the garage right on my shelf or on the wall. I can look at it.
Will
do. All right. Well, let's see. I don't think our bumper music fired. We got about 7 seconds left of the show. I'm glad I looked up. So that's all we got for you today, folks. Bye.